You have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in 2 Corinthians, according to my journal, this is the 29th time I'll start a meeting for you. You and I are getting old. I was only 45 when I preached for you the first time, so it's been a long, long time. It is a joy to be back in this place. We always look forward to it every year. We do not take it lightly, the privilege to preach here. And I have known for most of the year this year what I would preach here. It's very unusual. A lot of times I don't find out until a few days before, a few weeks. I have tried to change God's mind twice. I thought I had something better, but he kept bringing me back and said, I told you this is what I wanted. So I'm going to go with what he wants. I want to look in these five services at one of Jesus' body parts. And I feel like it'll be the first thing you and I see. And it is his face. This series come about by a little phrase in one of our hymns. Face to face, what shall it be? What shall it be for you when you're face to face with him? I was meditating some time ago about the Shunammite girl in the Song of Solomon. Of course, Solomon, a type of Christ, and her a type of the bride. She got caught up in one of the chapters studying his face. She got to looking at his hair, his eyes, got to looking at his mouth, got to looking at his lips. And she just finally come to the conclusion, he's altogether lovely. I can't help but maybe think that maybe somewhere along the line she looked at him and said, my, what a face. My, what a face. So I want to preach to you in these days on face to face. My, what a face. I can't help but believe when we step over into glory and see him for the first time, that may be our words. My, 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 what a face. What a face. And I want to begin this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and look at the revealed face of Christ. Paul's text will tell us a great part of our salvation this morning involves having the face of Christ revealed to us. He says in this text in verse 3 in 2 Corinthians 4, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. That really goes cross-grain with us to think that God would hide the gospel from some. But I am confident there are some sitting here this morning. God has hidden the gospel from you, and if he doesn't show it to you, you're going to hell as good as where you're sitting. Yes. 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 In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. Watch verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We begin to unpack this revealed face. I would draw our attention first of all to the created face of Christ. God enlightens the heart of man with the very face of Christ. His face has the power to raise the dead from a grave of sin, cause the sinner to say, My, what a face. My, what a face. I notice this face in verse number 3 has shining power. He says, if our gospel be hid, God has the ability to conceal, to veil, to cover over, to make not apparent. To who? The lost. Those slated for damnation. Matter of fact, he says in verse number 4, in whom the God of this world, Satan himself, has control inside of them to hide the gospel from them. He says in our text that he has blinded their minds. That little word blinded means to fog over, to inflate with high-mindedness, self-confidence, and pride. To think that you've got a better way to get to heaven than by the face of Christ. He says he has blinded them and left them in darkness, verse 4 tells us, to shade over or cover with unbelief. There are two truths that I have learned about salvation. They have become bigger to me in the last few months than any others. One is salvation is a revelation. It is not a decision. Hell will be full of people that went down the Romans Road, the German Road, the French Road, prayed prayers, joined churches, and got baptized, and they're still going to hell when it's over with. How come? God's never revealed himself to them. Salvation is not about something you did. It's all about what he did. The only thing that'll cause Satan to release his grip on the soul of the lost is the shining light of the countenance of the eternal face of Christ. When this light of his face shines, darkness will flee. Shining power. But I notice he has shining perception. Paul said he's talking about his own salvation. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. He uses the same light phrase that Moses uses in Genesis 1 when God said, let there be light. If you're saved this morning at some time or another, God stepped inside of your heart, not because you had prayed a prayer or made a decision. He stepped inside of you and said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. There is the shining perception. Question. Deep, deep, deep theological question. May need a doctor's degree in theology to get it. Here's the question. Did your believing cause that burst of light? Or did that burst of light cause you to believe? If you believe the latter, it ain't nothing you did. It's all what he did. I love the hound out of that, don't you? Better stop right there and shout, and some of you have never even said amen. I notice not only is there a shining perception, there's shining power, but there's a shining possession. If he has stepped in you and shined the light, he tells us in our text, in verse number 4, this blindness, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That little word image is often translated face. The glory of Christ. Paul says in verse number 6, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul said that when God saved me, he stamped the very image of God, Son, on my eternal soul, and it can never be removed. And my first thought when that thing was stamped along the way, this is awful deep. I don't know if you can get this or not. My, what a face has been stamped on the eternal soul. Matter of fact, Paul said, but we have this treasure. What treasure is that? The stamped image of the eternal Christ on my never dying soul. He says, I have this in an earthen vessel. Earthen being the word dirt, vessel being the word bag. I have this impression inside of a dirt bag. You might be a cute dirt bag, you might be a pretty dirt bag, but you're going back to the dirt as sure as where you're sitting, and the only thing that has any eternal value is your never dying soul that has the impression of Jesus Christ imprinted in it when that light burst into your soul. He says in verse number 7, but we have the treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be united, and you and God can share it together. No! It's none of you, all of him. Nothing you did. It's all what he did. That the power may be of God and not of us. No wonder we would say, my, what a face. Altogether lovely face. I notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, this revealed face, not a decision, it's a revelation. I was wondering this morning, not being nosy, God forbid I stick my nose in your business. Do you have any historical remembrance of God ever turning the lights on inside of you and stamping the very image of Jesus Christ on your never dying soul? And it is the only thing inside of you that is eternal, that will last forever. Not only is there a created face, but I notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, there is the changing face. As has already been mentioned, if he has stamped it, there will be a change. As the old black lady says, if he lives inside you, he gets on the outsides of you. The question is, how do I get that face to the outside so they won't see me? They'll see him. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 that it would involve a metamorphosed face. Inside, becoming the outside. He says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are what? Changed. It must happen. If there's been no change in you, if you're the same old gal and the same old boy that you've always been, you still like hog slop, you still like the world, there's been no change. Metamorphosed face. That little word open there means to unmask. And it is done by applying pressure to the outside. How does God get his face from inside of you to the outside so people can see Christ and not you? He applies pressure. That's how come we don't like trouble. That's how come he does like trouble. He's applying pressure. What's coming out of you when he applies pressure? I'm really going through, man. Oh, well. No! That's not him. That's you. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, he says, we're troubled on what? He said, I'm going to press you from every side. Everywhere you turn, he said, what the world are you doing, Lord? I'm trying to get that image out of you to the outside. So if he's pressing you on every side, he says, well, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, but not destroyed. So if he's pressing on every side, this is awful deep. I don't even know if you can get this. If he's pressing on every side, you only have one last place to look. Here it is.
Yeah. Amen.
And when you do, his reflection will begin to come out of you, and the world won't see you, they'll see him. I love that, don't you? Oh, the first Adam was made a life-giving soul. The second Adam was a quickening spirit producing abundant life. When the pressures of this world press in on me, I want Christ to be seen, not me. I don't remember a thing about it. I grant you, nothing, zero. I still don't remember anything about it. I had my cancer test last week, and they always knock me out to go in and see if my bladder cancer's come back. And he come out in the hall to see her and told her everything went well and didn't see any cancer. He said, I know one thing. He said, when I put him to sleep, he was praying, and when I woke him up, he was still praying.
Amen.
The world's going on, preacher.
Yeah.
Inside, coming to the outside.
Amen.
I love the hound out of that, don't you?
Amen.
Change, metamorphosis face. This change will also involve a mirrored face. Preacher, how in this world can I know for sure that image has been stamped on my soul? You ought to be seeing evidence when pressure is applied to you. You ought to be able to see that Christ likeness coming out of you. If it's all about you and you sucking your thumb and whining and all that stuff, it's you coming out of you. You're full of you. But it would involve a mirrored face. We all with open face beholding as in a glass. Little word glass, there's the word mirror. If he has ever stamped his image on your face, ever dying soul, he's giving you an insatiable appetite for this mirror, this book. I notice a lot of you don't even have a Bible with you. I don't know what you got an appetite for, but it ain't the Bible. You listening to me? Insatiable appetite for this book, because it is as we look in this book that we come away with the thought, my, what a face. I want that face to be seen on my outside. Mirrored face. James says in James chapter number 1, those that look in the word and go their own way, he says they're not changed. He says, but those who continue looking in the mirror of the word of God, they are blessed in their deeds. Do you have an insatiable appetite for the Bible? If you don't, he's never imprinted his image on your never dying soul. I don't care what you've prayed. I don't care where you've bowed. I don't care what you've joined or gotten dunked in. Nothing has ever happened. I am reminded of my middle son. We had the joy of spending the day with him on Friday. He has 8 kids. But when he was growing up, he was addicted to the mirror. I don't know if he still is. I'm not around him when he gets dressed that much. But he was addicted to 3 mirrors. There was one mirror over the sink on the medicine cabinet. There's where he began his mirror work. He would get real close to it. Matter of fact, I have noticed him sometimes looking up his nose, see if there's any boogers showing. This book is good for close-in looking to see if there's any boogers in the life. His next move was the mirror over the dresser, and he would check himself from the waist up, make sure the shirt was tucked in, make sure everything, the belt was aligned with the bottom of the pants, everything was right in line. And oh, isn't that the way this mirror is, that you can examine your heart, your hands, and what they're doing? And then finally, he would shut the bedroom door, and on the back of it was a full length, and he would check it from every side and make sure everything. Isn't that exactly what the Word of God is? It's good for a full length view. And see if you can see not yourself, but my, what a face. I ask you again, you that claim to be saved, claim that heaven is your home, do you have an insatiable appetite for the Bible? Or can you take it or leave it? There is the metamorphosed face. There is the mirrored face. But I see the manifested face. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, we're looking in this book. What are we trying to do? We want the glory of the Lord to manifest it. People will see him and not us. And he says, because of that, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Living in the book, he tells us in chapter 4 and verse number 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. The more we look in this book, the more we die to self, and the more Christ's image is manifested out of us, and the world will look at us and say, my, I see Jesus coming out of you. My, what a face, what a face. Is that what he's doing? As the little nursery song says, he's changing me into his likeness to be. Can we go to 1 Corinthians 13? Notice lastly this morning, the reveal face. Has Christ ever revealed himself to you? 1 Corinthians 13 this morning, not only do we see this reveal face involves a created, changing face, but it involves the completed face. It says in 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now, right now, we see through a glass darkly. I noticed in my beginning days with the Lord, when I first got saved, everything was a cloudy view. Cloudy view. That's what he says there in verse number 12. For we now see it through a glass, cloudy, puzzling, riddle, looking into the Word, looking at Jesus. What was he doing to you, preacher? He was doing something I didn't like. He was moving me from sight living that I had always enjoyed to faith living. I was so reminded of that recently. I was in a meeting. There was a blind evangelist there, and his best friend leads him everywhere he goes, meets him at the airport, and all he does is puts his hand on his shoulder, and he leads him, lead him upstairs, downstairs, around all kinds of debris, only because he's got that hand upon his shoulder. And he can sense in the movement of his face as to, and his body language, he knows what he needs to do. And oh, in my earlier days, that's exactly what God was doing to me. He wanted me to put my hand upon Christ and let him simply lead me all along the way. Do you find you that claim you're on your way to heaven? Is that what's going on inside of you? He's just leading you all along the way. It was a cloudy view. But I see in verse 12, it moved into a captivating view. He says, for now we see through a glass darkly. I know in part, the scripture says there in the latter part of verse 1, I know in part. See, all I know now intimately is just parts of Jesus. I know little things about Jesus, but the more I know, it has the craziest effect upon me. I want to know more about him. Isn't that what the Queen of Sheba said about Solomon? She said, I tell you, she said, half won't told me about you, boy. He said, just the little half that I have seen has taken my spirit from me. That's what she said. It is our little word, hyperventilated. She said, you got a paper sack around here? She said, I can't catch my breath. Oh, when I catch glimpses of that altogether lovely face, it almost takes my breath. I want to know more about that face. Face to face, what will it be? I notice, last of all, not only is it a cloudy view, captivating view, but there will be a clear view one day. He said, but now we see through a glass darkly. But then, what's then? When I step over there, then, face to face, for you and I, what shall it be? Will he see his reflection? Will he see Christ in us? When we step over there and stand before him, will he look at us and we will be a mirror of his very image? John said, if you have this hope inside of you, you'll keep yourself pure. Psalmist said, I shall be satisfied when I awake in my likeness. God forbid, when I awake in his likeness. Has there been a time when his likeness has been stamped on your never-dying soul? Is there evidence today that the old likeness is being effaced? The second Adam image is being brought to the front. Do you see clearly that's the reason why you're having trouble? It's not because you've done something right or wrong. It's because he's pressing that image out of you. So the world can see Christ. When he sees us, will he see his reflection and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord? Or will he say, depart from me, I never knowed you? The songwriter said it well when he said, face to face, Christ my Savior, face to face, what shall it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. My favorite Christmas carol. Love desired of nation come, fix in us thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed, brood is in us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now effaced, stamp thine image in its place. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Can you say with confidence this morning that the image of Christ has been stamped upon your never-dying soul? You see reason. Because you have an insatiable appetite for the Word of God, you see him changing you, and you're beginning to see him come into view as you study and addicted to the Word of God. Can you say that which is inside of you this morning? Can you say this about it? My, what a face.